John chapter 18 from verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "I am a Jew," Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest." But the Jewish leaders, "But now my kingdom is from another place." "Are you a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You said that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is the truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I have found no basis for charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas has taken part in uprising. Chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Then clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I found no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I found no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend to Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Amen.
What was happening on that first Good Friday? I mean, John introduces us here to the characters, to the context. But he prompts us to go deeper. What was really happening that day? That day when Jesus, the hope of the world, was on trial. Like any trial, we have the accusers at the prosecution. Begins, doesn't it? The Jewish leaders took Jesus. Well, there's the defendant. From Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor, we have the judge. By now, it was early morning. Oh, Jesus, he's been on trial, in fact, most of the night before that Jewish court. They're desperate to get this thing done now, to have it all out of the way before ruining Passover, to avoid ceremonial uncleanness. They did not enter the palace because they wanted to eat the Passover. A religious meal means more than a miscarriage of justice. Their obsession with the earthly Passover will become their rejection of the heavenly one. So Pilate came out to them. Can you picture it? The most powerful man in the land is forced to have this conversation on the steps of his palace. What is their issue with Jesus? Well, he says, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" They don't like his tone. Verse 30, if he were not a criminal, they replied, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. Have you noticed there are still no charges? No, their eyes are firmly fixed on the other side, the sentence itself. But we have no right to execute anybody, they say. That's their goal. The scene is set. In some ways familiar. But before we go any further, John pauses to point out what you and I might miss. Verse 32. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. This trial will follow a pattern. That pattern belongs to Jesus. He'll be crucified because he said he would. You see, Jesus is in charge here. He's in control. He's overseeing, superintending every detail. If we'd read from verse 4, we'd discover that in this account, it's Jesus who steps forward towards the guards, verse 4. It's in John's account where we find Jesus insisting that the guards let his followers go free in verse 8, so that not one of them would be lost. And while Pilate runs himself ragged, going backwards and forwards between the Jews on the steps of his palace and Jesus right in the middle of it, Jesus remains calm. While even the Jews are ranting and raving in their fury like a spoilt child, Jesus. He's quiet, like a lamb. Even though he will suffer unimaginably, he is conducting proceedings. Don't miss it. You see, this day as we gather, Jesus is not after our pity. He is completing his greatest work. He is revealing himself here more clearly than God has ever revealed himself before. The camera now follows Pilate back inside. Alone with the defendant, the judge asks, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus responds, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" In other words, Jesus looks Pilate in the eye and says, "Pilate, have you grappled with who I am?" He's asking the same question. Right now, I mean, by his Spirit in this room, through his word, have you grappled with who I am? "Oh, don't get all religious on me," says Pilate. "Am I a Jew?" Verse 35. "Anyway, what is it you've actually done?" Oh, there's plenty Jesus can say here. "I've healed. I've forgiven. I've cast out demons. I've calmed the storms, fed thousands, proclaimed good news to the poor. Yes, I'm a king. But my kingdom is not of this world, Pilate. My kingdom is of angels and archangels. Pilate, I'm the one this moment keeping them back from releasing me from this moment. Because do you see, Jesus is not only in charge, but Jesus is the king. Jesus is the king, the eternal king. And Pilate can't conceive it. The Jews refuse to see it. And we wouldn't either, because Jesus says here now, my kingdom is from another place. This kingdom, said Jesus back in chapter 3 to Nicodemus, cannot even be seen unless you are born again. And no one would be born again unless Jesus would complete what the king had come to do right here. "Oh, you are a king then," says Pilate. "Yes, of course. Jesus is the king, not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of the nations. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. The eternal king who always has been, who always will be. In fact," says Jesus, "the reason I was born and came into this world was to testify to this truth. I didn't come to lead the Jews in a one-time rebellion against Rome. I came to reveal the truth that I am the king. That my kingdom is coming. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate, you're not listening because you're not on the side of truth. It's the same for those crowds outside. Pilate doesn't really get it, of course. "What is truth?" he says as he leaves Jesus for the next time. But he is rattled. At one thing he does know, right now this man seems no threat at all. And he's just had a great idea. Scurrying back outside, he proclaims the judgment. Verse 38. "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it's your custom," he says to the Jews, "for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" This, in fact, by John, is the second mention of Passover. Did you notice? The second of three. Passover is the backdrop to this whole scene that we're joining this morning. This is Passover. This is the moment where God will save his people. And three times to accompany it, we hear Pilate, the judge, pronouncing not guilty. I find no basis for a charge against this man. You see, Jesus at the Passover is the sinless sacrifice. Jesus is the sinless sacrifice, the spotless lamb. John makes this clear to us as we see him swapped in the place of a guilty terrorist, Barabbas, the perfect substitute. And right here, his people show just how much they need it more than ever. Three times they reject him. Verse 40, they shouted back, "No, not him! Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is Isaiah's suffering servant. Chapter 53, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. And so Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. As the blood starts to trickle down his back, look, look, it's him. Isaiah's suffering servant. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. By his wounds, we're healed. But here is the staggering new revelation that could not have been seen before. This suffering servant is the king. Verse 2, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. But they clothed him in a purple robe, crowned with the thorns of a plant he had made. Mocked and abused by those he'd created for his praise. Do you see? The Lamb is the Lord. That first Passover night, 1500 years before these events that we're remembering today, as every man, woman, and child in Israel feeds on the Lamb. Would it, could it ever have occurred to them? The Lamb we would feast on is the Lord who was saving them, the God who would judge the Egyptians, the Lord who would part the seas, the high King of heaven who would descend on Mount Sinai as he drew his people to himself, that they would worship him in the fear due his name. The Lord, the King, would make himself the Lamb, that they, that we must feast upon, that we can worship him too. Once more, Pilate came out and said to those Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man. You see, you have to have eyes to see this, because to everyone there, this looked utterly ridiculous. a king? Well, yes, he's got a robe and a crown. But even his own people are hating him here. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But for those who can see, their final accusation is his greatest revelation. Verse 7, the Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." The king is the Son of God. Jesus will die because that is who he is. Verse 8, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. I mean, he realizes now he is way in over his head. And he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Unnerved by the silence, Pilate reasserts himself. Verse 10, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" I mean, let's make no bones about it. Crucifixion was horrific. This was the moment he was expecting the pleading to begin. But, verse 11, Jesus answers him, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." Jesus is without fear. His Father gave Pilate his authority. His authority. Christ's authority. The King's authority. This is the Son of God. He's the real judge here. And now the true guilt is brought out before his court. I mean, could anyone be more guilty than this man who defies the King of Kings, threatening, hear this with me, to crucify his Creator? Actually, yes. The one who handed Jesus over, he is more guilty, says Jesus. We're probably to assume he's talking about Caiaphas. But of course, Caiaphas is there as a representative of all his people, the Jews. Ultimately, he's responding and representing, in one sense, all of us, those who have ever stood before Jesus and have dared to say, "Don't you know who I am?" Well, we don't put it in those words, do we? But every time we choose to say no, "This is mine," to the Lord Jesus, and we do it far more often than we would ever dare to admit, we stand in their shoes. So frequently, you see, out of the same fear of others, we refuse to fear the King. Now, Pilate's now nervous about Jesus, but the Jews, well, they know his Achilles heel, verse 12. From then on, Pilate tries to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." And so for Pilate, fear of another king seals his blindness. When Pilate heard this, he puts away all his fears of Jesus, his uncertainty about what's really going on here. He goes outside, he sits down, and he makes his fearful judgment. "I choose Caesar over Jesus." He brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha, And here John reminds us for one final time, it was the day of preparation of the Passover. Pilate, blind to this unique moment of salvation, blind to the identity of the one he is condemning, pronounces, "Here is your king." But they shout, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king?" And here it is, they join Pilate. "We have no king but Caesar." Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. No king but Caesar. What a choice. God was their king. Do you know, fearing something or someone more than Jesus, there is their guilt. There is their sin. But as Jesus leaves the palace, Barabbas is leaving the prison. Jesus chooses the cross to unlock his kingdom to guilty people like you and me who will willingly put the smallest of things in front of the rule of our king. If you've grappled with your guilt, if you've recoiled even again this morning at your rejection of the King of Kings, if you've feasted on the Lamb this day, don't pity the man. Worship your king. Let him free you. Let him take you by the hand from the prison of your guilt and lead you to the center point of this passage, where those rough soldiers are speaking far greater than they know as they punch him in the face and claim, "Hail, King of the Jews, you now bow. Here is your king. Will you worship him?" "Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, hail, King of the Jews. Will you worship?" Let's bow before him for a moment as the musicians join me to help us do just that together this day, shall we? Lord Jesus, the horror of your suffering does move us greatly. But give us eyes to see in the midst of it the crown of thorns, the purple robe, our Lamb now seated on the throne. Strengthen us as you lead us far from the prison to enjoy this day again the privilege of the palace and cry, "Hail, Jesus, King of the Jews."